The median sales price of a home in Q1 of 2024 was over $420,000. I know for many of you, homes sell for way more than that where you live. The great news is that there are plenty of places where you can buy properties with good cash flow in great areas for $100,000 or less. I'm coming out with a free training in a few weeks that's going to teach you exactly what you need to do to invest out of state successfully. And you can watch it at your own pace. In the meantime, I have two free resources that I want you to download today. The first is a remote landlord's toolkit. This toolkit is going to empower you to overcome the concerns that you have about managing rental properties remotely. The second is a creative financing playbook. This is going to provide you with proven strategies to finance your real estate deals. You can find the links to these resources in the description of this episode, or you can go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and hit the resources tab. So be sure to download your free resources today. I mean, it's free, right? You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. Download your guys today.
Excuse me. May I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Mashup Series. And this episode features Justin Green from episode 98 and Noah Lawton from episode 67. And we're going to be talking about real estate as the cornerstone. Now, many people arrive in real estate doing different businesses and different careers. We're going to be talking about why real estate is the cornerstone of your business portfolio. So these two stories are really cool. Buckle up. It's really inspirational. Let's get into it.
Talk to us about when you got to the point where it's like, all right, I'm cool, I'm ready. I want to now take this business income and put it into real estate. Talk to us about getting to that point.
For me, I just know that that the stock market is pretty volatile, and then an asset class like real estate is pretty stable. So if I were to make this much profit in the stock market, it'd kind of be counterintuitive to throw it back in the stock market because there's a chance I could lose all of it. So I took some of that profit and put it into real estate just because I know that that money is pretty safe there and has time to appreciate and grow in value. So and I've always loved real estate. So I thought that was a good decision.
Definitely. I hear you. So, you want to invest, you're ready to invest as a 19-year-old. How did you even go about it? Like, how did you go, I need to find the deal. How did you go about that?
For me, it's trial and error. It's just, I think, so it was funny how it played out. I was actually inquiring about a different property when I found it, the property I closed on. I'd never seen it on the market before because it was listed incorrectly as a single family. So I was looking for multifamily, so I wasn't interested in single families. So I think a realtor sent it to me, texted it to me, and I told him, sure, I'll go look at it, I don't mind. And when I went to look at it, it was a multifamily, and that was when the trade had started hitting off, and I known that I was gonna have this much capital to put down, and then I wasn't able to get the financing I wanted, so I had to go get private money, and that was like a rabbit trail. I talked to so many different lenders and was trying to get pre-approved, and it was tough at my age just because I'm so young. I didn't have the tax returns. I don't have any experience. It's hard for a lender to just give me a couple $100,000, so. That was difficult, but I finally got financing, and then that was when I put an offer in, went back and forth a little bit, and then finally closed about a month later.
Man, so walk us through that deal. So you mentioned that you had to get financing and so forth. So can you, walk us through how you had to structure that, just given that, as you mentioned, you didn't, you're brand new, you're 18, 19, yeah, walk us through what the financing aspect was like.
The financing was pretty tough. I had to talk to a lot of different lenders, and they all, for some reason, every lender I talked to didn't really want to finance me on a rental loan. So I actually, at the end of the day, I had to go with a bridge loan, and so it's a 1-year bridge loan. It's a short term loan, so I'll have to either refinance or sell the property before the year is up. And it was it's at 20% down, so pretty standard. And yeah, the interest rate is pretty high. It's like 8.49%. So that's not that but my payments are interest only. So it's not too bad. I still cash flow pretty well, but the financing was pretty difficult.
Got you. That makes sense. Was the unit occupied? Did it need to be rehab? Was it ready to go?
Ready to go. So all three units were tenant occupied, so I didn't have to do anything tenant wise.
Gotcha.
That was a seamless transition. That was pretty good.
Got it. That makes sense. Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So as far as the bridge loan, so is it basically, do you plan to refinance? I guess if you plan to refinance, what would you need to show to a bank to make you financeable? What would that look like?
So that's the thing. I don't know if I'll be able to refinance just off the with a bank. I know that I could refinance with a private lender. My lender told me that they'll be able to refinance my loan if I were to get that value up to where it needs to be to refinance.
Got it.
But I'm thinking numbers wise, it might be better to sell the property just because what cash I have to put into it to do cosmetic rehab and drive the value up might be not worth it at the end. If I was going to do a cash out refinance or just a regular refinance, might be better. It might be more profit to just sell it and take that profit and do another deal.
Got it. So you got some options. I think that's the great part about real estate, right? I always tell people, I was just talking to somebody earlier. I said, real estate is really about how creative you can get, right. It's not really about who has the most money. It's about who's the most creative, who's the most persistent and diligent. You know what I mean? Because think about it, right? How many lenders do you think you spoke to before you found one that would work with you?
At least 100. At least 100.
Can you repeat that?
At least 100.
At least 100.
At least.
How many people would call, would get exactly 100 no's before they get a yes?
Exactly. Yeah. Lots of lenders.
So you could have been sitting on cash, but wanting to get a lender. Yeah. But if you weren't persistent enough, you wouldn't have gotten to 101 who said yes. You exactly. know what I mean? So exactly. It's the persistence, it's the creativity, because it's it seems like when you got the deal, you realize it's all right, I'm not necessarily lendable at this time, but I got to figure something out to close on this.
Right. Exactly.
And so at that point, you then either have a choice, you walk away, or you try to figure out, is there a creative strategy I can employ to try to make this happen for right now? So, I think you did a great job of that too.
Appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. It at the end of the day, it all came down to me being creative and just pushing, trying to get the deal done. Yeah.
Definitely. So what was going through your mind? Just the fact that, you're in college, right? You're first or second year, and I'm pretty sure you're studying, you're doing all these things, and you're also trying to close on a property. What was that experience like? The majority of us, right? It's work, family, and trying to do real estate, but you're in school, right? You're a full-time student. So what is that like? What is that experience like during that time?
It wasn't too hard. Last semester, at the end of the semester, it wasn't bad. It wasn't too bad. I didn't have as many classes as I do now. And it just wasn't, I would wake up early. I remember every morning I would wake up and be on the phone early, every morning before class. In the morning, I'd be on the phone and I'd be up all night for the most part. But now it's gotten pretty stressful dealing with tenants and all this paperwork. It's stressful. And I have 18 credits this semester.
Wow.
This semester has been a lot. Yeah.
What's your major?
I have a double major. I have majoring in finance and economics.
Got it. Oh man. So you're the numbers guy.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
That's awesome, man. Are you self-managing currently or do you have a property manager?
Self-managing.
Walk me through this. Right. I don't know how old your tenants are, but what was that like when they saw you're like, oh yeah, I'm the landlord. Was it like, man, please, you ain't no landlord. What was that first interaction like, and what are the interactions like now?
Oh yeah, actually it's crazy. I've met them because I've been on the property before. I was there today, doing a walkthrough, and they went to measure the property. So I was there today, but I don't think that they know that I'm their landlord because I'm so young. So I go out there today and I was like, hey, how you doing? They're just like, hey, and it's just, I don't think they know. I think the second unit does know that I'm their landlord though, because when I communicate with them, they say dude, and they try to talk to me like they're, because they're young as well.
Oh, got you. Okay.
think they might be seniors in college, so they're like 22, maybe 23.
Yeah.
So they just like talk to me like we're friends. It's just, like, it's a little weird, but.
Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate? Yeah. Are you interested in real estate but need more support and guidance?
You know who it is.
The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community. No matter how much or how little real estate experience you have, we've created a community for you because your perspective is important. All right, tell me, where's the number one place where you can do Q&A with experienced guest speakers 2 times per month? How about unlimited access to past guest speakers' recordings? What about a private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everybody in the community to share resources and support each other? Head on over to blackrealestatedialogue.com. That's blackrealestatedialogue.com. It's the real estate investing community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Come join us today.
So you mentioned that you had a turning point, right? You were at work, you were doing really well, leadership, and just, I'm sure, thriving at the job. And you were faced with the fact that you might be laid off. Take us back to that moment. And what was going through your head and what told you it was real estate? Because you could have went into a number of different businesses and things, but why real estate? What was it about real estate where you're like, all right, I'm faced with this. I think real estate is what can take me higher.
Right. So honestly, in that moment, when I heard the news, I was in survival mode, right? I mean, once again, I'm married, 2 young kids. And also I didn't mention that I've been laid off before my other previous jobs, right? Wow. Because education is based off of funding. If you don't have the funding, then you don't have a job or no program, right? So me knowing the feeling of being laid off in my previous jobs, and now me feeling like, you know, I have a master's degree, and this is my first job after having the degree. So I'm like, well, you know what? I'm set. I have a master's degree. I manage my office. I'm a boss there. I should be good. Right? Didn't work out that way. So my mind was like, man, this is crazy how you could think you're secure, but you're really not. So the reason I turned to real estate is because I had a few people in my church that were already doing real estate. And so I'm a big believer in teaching and in learning from people. So when I saw them doing it and having success, it was nothing for me to just go to them and say, hey, I see you're doing this. You know, I want to do something. I need something for my family to build income. So really, truthfully, it wasn't even about wealth at that point. It was about how do I provide an income for my family independent of a job. Mm-hmm. Right. And so with the guys at my church, they were already doing real estate. And so I tapped into them and just started getting coached by them.
Love it. Love it. Talk to us about what those beginnings were like, just the different things you were learning. And just what it was like as a beginner, just learning about something that you probably didn't have too much exposure to before.
Right. So, yeah. So I really leaned on my mentors, and then I have an excellent realtor that guided me as well, too. So I've always been able to save money. I've been able to manage money well. So the money aspect wasn't really, you know, an issue for me. Right. But the construction piece, the rehab, that was all new. So I had to really lean on a good contractor to guide me in the right direction. Now, one of the good things that happened within that transaction of me buying my first rental property, because that was my first time buying a property for an investment, is that the loan I was able to get from Wells Fargo, it was a construction loan that tied into the purchase price. So for the construction loan, they had a lot of parameters, right? So you had to do your budget. You had to submit to them your budget before you even started the project. Then they had a draw schedule where you put your own money out first, and then their inspector would come look at it, give the approval, and then give you the next draw, right? So those are a lot of, handholding that I didn't expect from Wells Fargo, but they did a good job with making sure that I wasn't too over my head. And he really walked me through the process as well too, right? So I had a good contractor. And then on top of that, I had a good inspector with, you know, with that, that draw schedule piece. And then obviously we had permits and things of that nature. So it really alleviated, you know, some anxiety because I had so many other things lined up.
Definitely. Definitely. And there's a couple of things I want to pull out of that before we move forward. So the first thing is what we're like 10 to 15 minutes in. I could already pick up a theme that you're very big on learning from others. You're very big on mentorship. And something that I've observed is that some people have a lot of pride and they don't want to learn from someone else, right, even if it's something they haven't done before. So can you talk about the importance of mentorship, especially as it comes to real estate? When you think about like construction, when you think about managing contractors, a budget, all these things, for most of us, we haven't done it before. So it could be to our benefit to connect with someone who can mentor us. So I would love to hear more of your thoughts about the importance of mentorship.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, mentorship in every aspect of life is important, right? I look back at at growing up, my dad wasn't around. He's passed away now, but we didn't have a relationship. So growing up, it was me and my friends, and we were just trying to learn how to be boys and be men. And a lot of times we would follow, you know, the hip hop culture to learn how to be men, which is not a right thing to do in regards to just getting your identity as a man from hip hop culture, right? So it wasn't until I got into college where I started like getting feedback and mentoring from like positive Black men that were like doing really positive things in college and advising me the right way. So I was like, well, wait a minute. If you're telling me this and this rap song is telling me this, I can see how this particular song or particular mindset in culture, because I mean, listen, I love hip hop, but I'm simply saying there's some aspect of it growing up that I didn't know was wrong, right? In the sense of the way I didn't want to go, right? So when you start hearing things that are different from what you're normally hearing, right? Like, hey, listen, you don't have to have sex with every woman that you see, right? And you start feeling, you start understanding like, whoa, that advice is different from what I'm normally hearing, but the advice that I'm getting, I see if I follow that, I'm going in the right footsteps. I'm going in the right path. Then you start realizing like, I don't have to bump my head too many times to know to go in the right path. Right. And there's a Bible verse that I love where Jesus talks about, you know, how can people hear without a teacher? Right. So that just talks about this importance of teaching, of learning, and having a teacher or a mentor. So my experience in life is really that I need to surround myself with people that can help build me up and guide me in the right direction. Right. So I'm really big on mentorship once again. And I wasn't always big on paying a coach, but I realized that to go to another level, I had to pay someone to really give me the guidance I needed to now take it to another level.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.